Hope everybody's had a good week, good weekend. Good to see everybody here. Now, before we get started, I'm going to ask Brother Ralph if you'd open us up with a word of prayer.
Father in heaven, again, we're thankful for the privilege of being in your house today. We thank you for your word. Pray that you would guide and direct our pastor as he preaches today, that you would use him, that you would be effective, that we would all receive something from you today. Many times we don't do what we should in preparing for services, and so I pray that your spirit would work in our hearts, that we would be prepared to receive from you. May our hearts be right, as Pastor was talking about in Sunday school, that what we offer before you will be received by you and be a blessing. Thank you now for our time together. We pray that all of us will be a blessing to each other as well. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know, Pastor was talking about how a lot of crazy things are going on in this world today. And with yesterday being 20-year anniversary of 9/11. My wife and I, we were watching a couple of documentaries on everything that went on, and a lot of first-hand camera views of what happened there. And there was a time where, it was as the towers fell, just that blast of smoke that came through, it was so powerful, it was knocking people over. And you could see in the camera, you know, people went down, and it just turned to pitch black. And you could just see the suffering and watching the people trying to get out of the building and people jumping out of the building and the fires and all those things. And just thinking about what was going through their mind. You know, how would have I acted during that? What would have been going through my mind? And I was thinking about, man, what are the people that are going through this that are lost? You know, at least if I was going through that, I could just pray and say, well, Lord, if it's time, it's time. But I was thinking about that total darkness coming over and how much that smoke blotted out the sun to those people. And I got to thinking how scary that would be. And then it started making me think about what it's going to be like in hell. The darkness that's going to be there, the suffering that's going to be there. I could only think how terrified I'd be dealing with that situation at the Twin Towers. But how much worse is it for those that are dealing with eternal fire, that eternal darkness, that eternal suffering? It's really got me thinking how much better of a job I need to do letting people know about Jesus Christ, that they can be saved from that.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, I'm thankful that I'm saved, and I'll never have to suffer with that. But like he was saying, plenty of people have burdens. They have a pastor and his wife. They had a rough night last night. My wife and I also had a pretty rough night last night. If I had bags under my eyes, we did not get much sleep last night. But on the way here, we were just listening to some songs. You know, it was a rough night. Been dealing with a lot heavy on my heart. Last night was just kind of that last little straw. There was just so much to deal with. Then we were listening to songs on the way here. Just all that's going on, as heavy as things are, we listen to a song called "He Knows My Name."
Yes, he does.
I thought the God in heaven knows my name.
Amen.
Here I am complaining about some trials. Really puts things in perspective. On the way here, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful to be able to come here and be amongst you guys. It's always a refresher to be here.
Yes.
We sang a song right next to it on Wednesday night. This morning, I want to sing another one just like it, because I'm just so thankful that through anything, I can go to Jesus Christ and I can tell him exactly what I'm going through. Amen. And he's always here to listen.
Amen.
He's always there to give me a song in my heart and to remind me that he's in control. So I'd ask if you'd all stand with me this morning and sing hymn number 238, "I Must Tell Jesus." Song 238. so thankful I can tell Jesus. If you would, turn with me to page 414. Page 414. Trust and obey.
Contemporary Christian music today, you are not going to find a verse that says, "Oh, how the world to evil allures me." You are not going to hear that. You're not going to, "How evil allures me, how my heart is tempted to sin." I used to listen to a lot of contemporary Christian music. Lots of it. And not one time I heard anything about, "Oh, my, how my heart is tempted to sin." Be careful with the music you listen to. I'm thankful for Elisha Hoffman. That's who wrote that song. How he was honest with himself. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior. That's honesty. That's honest Christian living right there. That you walk out these doors and how quickly we're tempted to sin. How quickly the devil allures us and draws us astray from our Lord Jesus Christ. But he's given us victory over sin. To win the day, to win the battle, there's victory to be had in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Elisha Hoffman willing to be honest about the things that he struggled with as a Christian. So, Lord willing, this week, this Tuesday, we'll pick back up again with our brief Bible study. Tuesday at 6 o'clock to 7:30, Lord willing, we'll have food again prepared for dinner for that class. Again, this Tuesday from 6 to 7:30. Lord willing, again, on Thursday, we'll try to do public outreach again. from 6 to 7. Like I said during the Sunday school hour, I like to try to branch that off and maybe get two groups now going to two different areas. We've had good turnouts for that. Maybe go out to another part of the community and hold up signs there as well. If you're not able to make it, I just ask if you could just pray for that 1 hour or for a couple minutes during that hour for us, as God would just bless His Word and just deal with souls that read those scriptures. And I mentioned last week how I'd like to have a members meeting the 26th. I'm bumping that up to the 19th, which is next Sunday, because, Lord willing, we're going to have a missionary got in contact with me. Missionary Anil Javed. He's a missionary, or trying to be a missionary, to Pakistan. He is from Pakistan, been in the States since, I think, 2003, got saved when he moved over here with his parents. God's doing some good things in his life, and God's leading him back to his people there in Pakistan. And he's got an open door because he lived there, was raised there, knows both of the languages that are there, and so he's trying to go back and start some churches there with the Christians that are in Pakistan. So he'll be with us the Sunday morning, the 26th. So Laura, next week, we'll try to have a little meeting afterwards. There'll be no voting, just some things I just want to bring up to the church. One of that being the incorporation, unincorporation type thing. Found a little bit more information on that. And just a couple of things I just want to bring up to the church members. So Lord willing, next Sunday after the morning service, we'll meet for a few minutes to discuss some of those things there. And if you can remember, Brother Mike Hoover, keep him in prayer. This coming Tuesday, he'll have his bypass surgery. So keep him and his family in prayer, and the doctors, that they would just be able to take care of what needs to be taken care of with that heart surgery. So, amen. Let's continue to sing, bro.
For our final song this morning, I'd ask you to please stand and turn with me to page 809. Until then.
Yeah. You know, it's the day I could walk up them steps and never have to carry the handle. Now I gotta grab the handle when I come up the steps. Upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin, they said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. They could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died
your Bibles this morning. We're going to continue on in our study through the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 1. This morning, Romans chapter 1, if you're able to stand, we're going to begin in verse number 8 this morning in Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse number 8. Romans 1, verse number 8.
Romans 1 verse 8, the Bible says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace, dear God. Lord, just to be able to meet, to open up your word. Lord, to sing these songs out to you, Father. Lord, may you just be glorified today and honored in all that's said and done. Meet with us. Give us what we need. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So, picking up here in our study with the book of Romans, chapter 1, Paul says here in verse number 8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for y'all." See, there's southern language in the Bible. That just hit me right there. It says y'all. All right, verse number 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for y'all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." First thing I want you to notice here in verse number 8 is the needfulness to be thankful for one another. We need to be thankful for one another. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? Paul says here in verse 8, first thing I want to say is, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you. Paul was thankful for the brethren that he had an opportunity to write to, and his desires, we're going to go on here and see, his desire was to be with them. There's a common theme through a lot of the services that we have, even going into a Wednesday night, of Paul through his epistles, of not only praying for the brethren in all these different churches, but having a desire to be with them and thankful for them. You see, this thankfulness is one thing, or one of many things, that separates true Bible-believing Christianity from all other religions. A true love and being there for one another. Paul was thankful for the brethren. Take your Bible, look over at the book of John. John chapter 13 and verse number 34. John 13, 34. John chapter 13 and look at verse number 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. The Lord here talking to his disciples and those following him. And he says here in John chapter 13, verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." How is the world to know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ, but in the fact that we have a love one toward another? There ought to be felt, in a sense, in the right sense, of a visitor visiting a church, and they can feel the love that those that are members have to one another. We ought to be thankful for one another, and we ought to love one another. Take your Bible, look over at 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 1, 1 John, all the way in the back of the Bible, right before Revelation, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and then you have Revelation, 1 John chapter 2, and look at verse number 1, 1 John 2, verse number 1. "My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not, and if a man have a sin... And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins," which means the word propitiation means he took our place. He was the atoning sacrifice for us. "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So John here says, well, if somebody says, well, I don't know if I'm saved, I don't know if I know Jesus Christ. Well, John says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Well, what are his commandments? Verse number 4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If you claim to be saved this morning, if you claim to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, John says here in chapter 2, verse number 6, that ye ought to walk as our Lord Jesus Christ walked. The way Jesus Christ acted, what did Lord Jesus Christ did, his testimony to this world, ought to be evident in our own life to one another and to the world as a whole. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You want to start falling spiritually in your life, start hating your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You want to stumble, you say, preacher, I'm stumbling in my spiritual walk with God. Could it be that you have something against a brother or sister in Jesus Christ? Jesus said that if you don't love your brother and sister in him, there's an occasion that ye may stumble because of your hatred towards them. Verse number 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You know who walked in darkness and ended up killing his brother? Cain. Why did Cain hate his brother? Because his sacrifice was more righteous than Cain's. God didn't accept Cain's sacrifice. Cain brought the fruit of his own hands. Abel came with a little lamb and shed its blood to make an atonement for his sins. Brethren, this morning, me and Melanie were talking about it with an individual we were talking with this week, trying to witness to him. It's not a matter of what I think. It's not a matter of my opinion. It's a matter of what does the Bible say about the issues we face in our society today? What does the Bible say? It matters nothing what Chris Welton thinks. It matters nothing what any other preacher or government official, anybody. It doesn't matter what we think, but what does the Bible say? The Bible says that we ought to have a love one toward another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. Jesus said that. A love for one another. Take your Bible, flip over to Genesis chapter 13. But this is where we run into issues. Genesis chapter 13 is where we run into issues. Paul said back in Romans chapter 1, verse number 8, he said, first, I thank my God for you all. Paul was thankful through Jesus Christ for the brethren that he had an opportunity to know. Thankful for the brethren, thankful for church, thankful for one another. Look at Genesis 13, though, and verse number 7. Look what problem crept up here between Abraham and Lot, who were brethren. Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. You see, there was a strife that came between the herdmen of Abram and Lot. It got to the point to where Abram says, I've got to deal with this thing because we're brothers. And Abram, I believe Abram felt in his heart, Abram didn't want anything coming in between him and his relationship with his nephew Lot. They were brethren. They were family. You say, how do you squash strife? How do you squash a situation where a brother or sister in the Lord could begin to hate one another? Learn to yield. We don't like to yield. No, I'll let you have it. I'll let you take this. I'll let you go this direction. I'll let you make the decision, and I'll yield to whatever. You see, that's humility. Well, preacher, they might railroad me. You might be right. They might railroad you. But what did Jesus Christ do? And was not our Savior railroaded? You see, we want victory in our Christian walk, but there's a price tag on it. And Abram gives us a good example here. He says to Lot, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. Lot, you make the decision. I'm giving it to you to make the decision. Abram could have very easily said, Lot, you go over there, or Lot, you separate. Abram was his elder. Yet Abram, even though he was an elder, submitted and allowed his nephew, Lot, to make the decision. Strife means exertion or contention for superiority. Contest of emulation, either by intellectual or physical efforts. I've got to be number one. I've got to be in the front. I've got to be heard. I've got to be seen. That is what causes strife. Emulation means this: the act of attempting to equal or excel in qualities of another. Rivalry, desire for superiority, attained with effort to attain it. Attended with effort to attain it. Paul was thankful for the brethren because I believe Paul was always willing to take the back seat. Paul walked humbly with the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 20. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 20. 2 Corinthians 12, 20. What Paul writes to the church there at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 20. Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 20, for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Paul was fearful of these things, and these things creeping up in the church among the brethren. Being thankful for one another rather than causing strife. You see, preacher, why are you talking about this? Because it's real and it's relevant. The more people you have in church, the more opportunity you have for strife. The more opportunity you have for envying, the more opportunity you have for one click to start over here and another click to start over here, and this person doesn't like this person over here, and this person doesn't like that they hang out with that person over there, and there begins to be strife and envying among the flock of God, and therefore the power is lost because the spirit is quenched. You know what? Jesus Christ had to deal with this himself among his own disciples. Take your Bible, look at Luke chapter 22. You say, preacher, well, I'm walking close with Jesus. I don't have to worry about this morning. Well, the closer you get to him, the more you do have to worry about it, because you might get lifted up with pride in your own spirituality. You might just begin to get lifted up saying, I've already got it together. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 21. This is the Last Supper. 12 disciples up there in the room with Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. So Jesus is telling the brethren there, the disciples, he's saying, listen, the one who's getting ready to betray me, he is right here among us. Verse 22. And surely the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Why were they concerned about who should do this thing? Because they desired to be superior to the other. Look at verse 23. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them that it was that should do this thing. Verse 24. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. Jesus is trying to open up their eyes and reveal to them about what is getting ready to take place, that the one that's going to betray him, his hand is there at the table. He's getting ready to go to the cross to suffer for the sins of mankind. And what is going on right there at that intimate table and fellowship with the Lord Jesus? Who's going to be the greatest? No, I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'm the one greatest. I was the one talking to him before. No, you be quiet. I'm the one that's going to be greatest. This strife, this envying, right at the very table of Jesus Christ. The men that have just walked with him for 3.5 years, he's getting ready to go to the cross and they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. Does that not occur in Christianity today? My church is bigger than your church. My congregation is bigger than your congregation. Our offering is bigger than your offering. We have more ministries than you do. We have a bigger school than you do. We do this bigger. I have more education. I have... We say that doesn't ever happen. Strife brings about a quenching of the Spirit of God. We need to walk honestly with ourselves and one another so that the church can have power with God. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Let us walk honestly as in the day. A Christian's walk ought to be one of lowliness and humility, always looking out for the other person rather than their own edification. We ought to exhibit in our lives for Jesus Christ a life of self-sacrifice. A life being willing to be used. You see, I heard a story one time of this old preacher. And he would get down at night and pray with his wife. I'm kind of paraphrasing here the story. He would get down and spend time with his wife, pray with his wife. God, use me. God, I want you to use me. God, do something in my life. Lord, I just want to be used of you, dear God. And all of a sudden he got wind of a younger preacher who was going through a hard time and was back on God. And he came out there to visit this old preacher and spent some time with him and ended up staying there with that old preacher for a while till he got back on his feet. And one day this old preacher went to his wife and he says, I just feel like this brother just keeps on using me. She's like, well, isn't that what you prayed the Lord for you to be used? Think about that one, brother. The Christian walk is a Christian walk of self-sacrifice. Will you go the extra mile when it seems like you're being put out? Well, I was just getting ready to go to bed, but someone needs help. I was getting ready to go to sleep, but this person needs you right now. That's Christianity. Christianity is putting you last and others first. True Christianity is not about you, it's all about Jesus Christ. There's power in that. But we seem to think sometimes that there's a time for us. No, true Christianity, there's not a time for us. It must always be about Jesus. Now, will God give us times of respite? Yes. Will God give us time to enjoy some things? Yes. But even in those times to where there might be a respite, where there might be a vacation, where there might be a time to just rest a little bit, even in those situations, still be willing to be used for Jesus. Well, I'm on vacation right now, so I'm not going to do anything for God. God help us. God help us. A Christian never has a day off. A true Christian never has a day off. The flesh would like it. But what was Jesus always about? Brother, I ain't going to be very long this morning. I want you to think about these things. Jesus was always about the Father's will, even when he was put out. Just think, last week we preached about that woman at the well. He was tired, he was weary, he was worn out. Yet he told his disciples, I have meat to eat of that you don't even know about. My Father's will. Putting others before ourselves. Take your Bible, look at Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 3. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3. A life of self-sacrifice. Paul was thankful for the brethren there at Rome. He was thankful for them and their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we thankful for one another? Are we willing to be put out for one another? Rome, or Philippians chapter 2, and look at verse number 3. Verse 1, Philippians 2, 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know what gave Paul, the Apostle Paul, joy is when he looked at the brothers and sisters that he ministered to them and that they were like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And verse number 3, this gave him joy. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You want to talk about something hard to put into practice? It's not getting a doctorate degree. It's learning to put others before yourself, to live a life of lowliness of mind and esteem other better than you. That is a true doctorate degree in Jesus Christ's school of education. Brethren, hear me this morning. I pray to God you hear me this morning that there's power when you put others before you. When you think about others before you think about you. When you're willing to go out of your way and do something for somebody else, even though it's going to cost you something, there's power with God in that. Paul says to the brethren there at Philippi, he says, let nothing be done through strife and vain glory. There's nothing good in us, but there's everything good in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you understand? There's everything good in Jesus Christ, but in order for Jesus Christ to live through your life, you have to crucify yourself on that cross daily. Daily, putting that flesh on the cross, saying, not my will done, not my will, Lord, but thine will be done in my life today. God, help me to live for Jesus' sake and not just live a life that pleases Chris Welton. There's power in that. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse number 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Are you just focused in on your own little world and your own little life and your own little setup rather than being focused on what is going on maybe in brothers and sisters' life that you could be a help in? Are you looking inward at you or looking outward on others and how you can be a help? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Brethren, as we read through these scriptures, look what Jesus Christ put the emphasis on. What did Jesus Christ put the emphasis on? He put the emphasis on the Father's will and then those who he came to serve. Do you realize, I know I've said this before in this church, do you realize that God manifested in the flesh, got down on his knees and washed the filthy feet of his own creation? God was willing to get, there's some Christians today, if I did a foot washing right now, I'd be like, I ain't got nothing to do with that. He wants me to do foot washing. He wants me to touch their feet. When Jesus Christ, the creator of all mankind, humbled himself and became a man and he got down on his knees and he took the filthy feet of his disciples, of his creation, and washed their feet. God help us. You say, preacher, why aren't more people getting saved? Why isn't there power in the church? Why isn't there a great revival? Because we're unwilling to get on our knees and wash the saints' feet. Because you know what? A lot of us, it's all about us. And listen, I said it this morning. I'll sit right there. I'll be the first one in line this morning. Look here, I'll be the first one in line this morning and say, yay, Lord, I'm in need of help this morning. I'll be the first one in line. I ain't up here saying I'm super spiritual. I'll be the first one in line and say, God, help me. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus this morning. Verse number 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But look at verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation. How many preachers today in the pulpits are wanting to be men of reputation? Look at me. Look what I attain. Look at my great vast kingdom that I build. And God says there's no power there because it's all about you and what you've done. Look, if Jesus Christ made himself of no reputation, who is it of me to make myself of reputation? It ain't about Chris Welton. It's all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And if it ever becomes anything but about Jesus, I'm in trouble. And we're in trouble as a congregation. If it ever becomes anything but about Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. Look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did. And took upon him the form of a what? A servant. Not only as I, as a preacher, ought to be a minister. A minister means to serve. You as well ought to be servants for one another. Should I not serve you? Should we not serve one another? Should we not be willing to go out of our way for one another? Should we not be willing this morning to be used of somebody else and know we're being used, but realize that Jesus Christ was used for us? Verse 8, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The devil does not want you this morning to humble yourself and become obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. The devil wants it to always be about you and not about Jesus. Brethren, if you're willing to become a servant here on this planet for the last few years that we have to live, some of us in this room have less years to live than others, but ultimately we have a very small amount of time to finish out our life here on this planet. But may God help us, those of you that are saved this morning, may God help us to get in our minds and to get in our hearts and to have a prayer unto God. Say, God, help me to be a servant, Lord. God, help me to be willing to be used of you, even when it's painful, even when it puts me out, dear God. Lord, help me to just be a servant. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Because look at verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, because of these things, my precious brethren, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. It will be worth it all someday. Let Christ Jesus work through you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, it's not talking about keeping your salvation. When you work something out, that's something that you already got. If you're working out your muscle is already there. You're just working it out to where it can become evident. Work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Because, brethren, I'm going to close here in prayer in a second, but I'm going to say these last words and probably the most important words I could say this morning. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why should you fear and tremble while you work out your salvation? Because of, think of what it would be to get home to heaven someday and realize and look back that it was all about you and not about Jesus Christ. How you lived for you, how you lifted up you, how you exalted you instead of Jesus Christ. And then someday you're standing before him, and the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When you finally get home someday and you realize in heaven that it was always and it always shall be about Jesus Christ and never is it ever about you. That'll make you fear. That'll make you tremble when you stand before the king someday and you realize, uh-oh, I messed up. Uh-oh, I was living for nothing but me back there on that planet for all those years, and here's the one I should have been living for. That's fearful. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Proverbs chapter 1. Fools are destroyed for a lack of wisdom, for a lack of instruction. Don't be a fool this morning. Don't be a fool this morning. Realize this morning, may God help us all to realize this morning that it's always about Jesus Christ. He is the one to be glorified and magnified in our life. I took a little different turn this morning, but I want to end with this thought. Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Are you thankful that you have another individual you can call brother, that you can call sister? You know why those terms are important? Because we're brethren. It's just not Chris or Jason. It's brother, sister. Why? Because it's not a blood relationship. Well, it is a blood relationship. The blood of Jesus. You see, me and him and that man right there and that man right there, we're brothers closer than blood brothers, physical blood brothers, because all three of us have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. My relationship to these two men here and everybody else in here that's saved is closer than my brother that lives down in Texas. Because it's a bond, a spiritual bond together. We are part of the body of Christ. Therefore, we need to work in unison. What do you do if the arm wants to go this way, and the leg wants to go this way, and then this leg wants to go this way? You ain't getting nowhere as a body. We need to work together and be in unison for the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, may you just be glorified, praised, and honored. Lord, I pray you'd help me with this, dear God. Help me with it, Lord, to realize that someday every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow before Jesus Christ the King. Lord, help us to be about your business. Lord, help us, Lord, to live a life of self-sacrifice, Lord. God, help us to put this filthy flesh on the cross, dear God, and to take up our cross daily and walk with you. Lord, help us, Lord, as John says in 1 John, Lord, to have a love for the brethren. Lord, help us to love one another. Help us to be there for one another. Help us to bear one another's burdens, as it says in Galatians. God, help us to not merely play church, dear God, but help us to live it. Help us to live it, dear Lord, so that you will be glorified, magnified, and that we can shine as light in a crooked and perverse nation that we live in today, dear God. Help us to be those lights. Help us to be those lights that others may see their need of salvation through Jesus. Lord, may you now be glorified and honored. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's finish with this song here this morning, page number 216, if you're able to stand. Page number 216.
Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to do the things you want us to do.
Amen.
Help us in that way. Give us a great week that everything we do brings honor to your precious name. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love you, brethren. You're dismissed. Don't see you tonight.